Grade 7 Conference, Lecture 6, The Ego. The chameleon-like nature of the astral body can lead us to be confused about whether the ego is present or not in a seventh grader. Parents will insist that it is, and often use that as a justification for a lack of discipline or consistency in the home. They were using other things as excuses earlier on, but this one seems to have greater validity for them and perhaps for you as well. We'll be discussing that when we talk about parent work. The students, although they don't even know the word ego, except perhaps in a vernacular way, they will be convinced that they are carrying that very lofty body of the human being in a full way. And there will be times, moments, when they are correct about that, but they are fewer and further between than maybe commonly believed, and you yourself at times will be deceived about how present the ego is or not. And this perhaps is the most critical aspect of what I want to bring, that you have to be very clear here to differentiate between ego activity, ego presence, and its appearance. Its shadow, its reflection, its resonance, its ripples, and so on, all of which appear in the astral body. The ego and the astral body are intimately connected. And so it's not surprising that the astral body can appear to be the ego. And like the wolf in sheep's clothing, or the wolf in grandmother's pajamas, it will appear pretty accurately and pretty well and deceive us. So let's look at the relationship of the astral body and the ego and try to understand what's going on here. And I would say, even for those of you who are very familiar with the four bodies, what I have to say now I think will be helpful and may even present some new thoughts to you. Now, I've spoken of the four bodies thus far in the usual schematic way, although I think I've tried to look at it from different perspectives. But basically, it's like the Russian Matryoshka doll with, you know, a smaller doll in a larger, still larger, still larger. And that is perfectly correct, and Steiner used that image thousands of times in lectures. But of course, with Steiner's revelations, there's never just one way of looking at something. There are multiple ways. And if he's giving a scheme that is spatial in nature, and he will always say, of course, it doesn't really look like this at all, but because we live in a world of space, this is a helpful analogy. Wherever Steiner speaks in terms of space, we always have to think, okay, what is it like in terms of time? And here Steiner says less. We could say that the picture we're given in the training and that I've been working with is that of a gradual unfolding in the course of time. At birth, we have the physical body and some etheric. At 7, the etheric comes into its own. At 14, the astral. 21, the ego. So there's the usual typical linear picture of time, and these bodies suddenly appearing, suddenly making themselves manifest. But it's not that simple, and in fact, to just go in that simple way will leave us completely unequipped for what we're actually meeting in seventh grade, for what indeed we've actually already met in third grade. And for those of you who've taken the third grade online conference, you'll understand what I'm pointing to here, which is the following. that the physical and etheric body are there when we are born because they are streaming out of the past. And you know, at the very beginning of the study of man or foundations of human experience, Steiner speaks about this, that the normal and healthy response of the child to the past, to the spiritual world, to pre-earthly experience, is that of antipathy. That's the only way they can jump away from that, they can leap into life, is like a, you know, an athlete sort of pushing away, pushing themselves off that promontory and coming into life. So the etheric forces in particular, the dynamic of those forces incorporating, is also pressing us forward like a hand, pushing us from the past into the future. And this is the way we experience life. Our consciousness of time is intimately connected to our etheric body throughout our life, so that we believe that time moves forward in one direction from the past to the future with momentary presents that are there. However, it's not that simple. The ego and the astral body reside in the future. They are coming towards us from the future, and they are pushing in a diametrically opposite direction from the physical and the etheric, which is why we have premonitions, which is why we have a sense now and then of something that's going to come our way. As Yogi Berra put it, deja vu all over again. Yes, we can experience that, but that's only at moments, and it's almost always in an involuntary way. One of Steiner's great revelations was that time at all times is moving in two opposite directions, and that the task of modern humanity is increasingly to awaken to the stream that's coming from the future, or else we will be engulfed in that future. We will be overwhelmed by that future because it is much more powerful than what streams from the past, because it's astral and ego in nature. It's coming from much loftier realms of the spiritual world than the forces that we carry with us when we are born. And these future-bearing forces first appear at the 9-year change, and this is a reason that children feel anxious. They sense something is coming towards them, but they don't know what it is. They can't fully comprehend it, understand it. And it's also why the children then start to think about, sometimes for a while, even obsess about death. And it's not unusual at this 9-year time that the child encounters things dying. The death of a favorite pet, the death of a beloved grandmother or relative who dies prematurely, perhaps because of the onset of an illness, the death of their parents' marriage. We know that at this third grade time, there are more separations and divorces than in most other grades, and so on. That's just a premonitional year, though, that the astral body is just going on a scouting expedition, trying to see how strong the etheric body is, how well fortified that castle is protecting the child within, and then it withdraws, but it comes back again for good now. Mid-sixth grade to mid-seventh grade. Now we have, in a way, the full army with its brilliant strategy. It's going to overcome the crenellated walls that the etheric body has constructed, and it's going to be rather overwhelming. And with it will come a sense of futurity, a sense of the future. So this is very important to recognize. And the astral body is 99.9% of this invasion. But as I said, the general behind it, the great commander-in-chief, who remains behind so that he can continue to have the vision of the way this battle must take place, that is the ego. But the astral body has its own officer corps who can take on qualities of the ego as well. So there's a vacillation that goes on over months, with some children weeks, sometimes days, sometimes hours, or even minutes, between pulling back into the safety of the experience of childhood, the physical etheric, that comfort zone, and also feeling inexorably drawn into the future, or kind of pressed upon by the future. It depends on the child and it depends on the moment that that future is there. With its excitement, with its sense of that which is to come. And we could say that the experience of the younger child is that of dawn, of the dawn. The experience of the older child is that of the setting sun and the excitement of what is going to come at nighttime. And of course, this is something that the children begin to awaken to in seventh and eighth grade, in particular, nighttime, what you do at night. And they're going to press at home to stay up later. And there's less and less way of controlling that, you know, short of sedating your adolescent, which many people would love to do. They're going to stay up later. The nighttime, that once forbidden, prohibited time when they couldn't be awake, now they can be. And this is where the astral body is most engaged, especially when they're a little bit fatigued, when their rhythms are not working in the way they did before. All of this is the hallmark of the etheric body. Now the astral body has its chance, and it presses into them from the future. So when you are seeing the disruption and the craziness and all of these things, you have to realize that the world of the future is making its way into your classroom through those children. And you have to be working out of very, very different forces. And what I see happening to teachers in these grades is the teachers, too, want to fall back on the old ways. Okay, everybody, no recess. You know, you're just driving me crazy. And, you know, I'm going to erase that star from the board because you don't deserve that anymore. And just kind of, you know, it's not going to work that way. You have to be ahead of them. You have to be living in the future. You have to find your ego forces more and more strongly in order to work with what's coming towards you. So in the next lecture, I want to go into a little bit more detail about this. And where is it that the curriculum is meeting here and there these nascent ego forces and trying to help them arise? Because that is the only way to counter the very strong forces of disruption and anxiety and the many things that the astral body brings. The etheric can no longer do it. Now we have to counter it with forces that we draw upon from the future. And I'll try to describe in the next lecture and also in talking about the work of the teacher in subsequent lectures how to do this. This may be a real game changer, a real lifesaver for you in the year to come.